Two Sundays, we started this teaching in the past two Sundays on depression, dealing with depression. Praise God. Because it's becoming a more and more urgent and desperate situation. So we have to deal with it. So I'm going to round it up today. I believe we'll be blessed. So we established that depression is a mental state, basically. We give three different definitions. It's a feeling of severe despondency and dejection that lasts for a prolonged period of time. A feeling of severe despondency and dejection. We also said it's a serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel and the way you think and the way you act. Okay? Another one says it's a state of feeling unhappy and without hope for the future. Praise God. We also established, we said who can be depressed. We said anybody can be depressed. It can affect anybody. From very rich people to very poor people have been attacked with depression. Very rich people, very poor people. We've seen very successful people to very unsuccessful people be depressed. Praise God. Then we've seen very powerful people and very, can we say unpowerful? Very unpowerful people. I've been depressed. Rich and poor, successful and not. All kinds of people, male and female, young and old. Teenagers, we've seen teenagers being depressed. So anybody can be depressed. That's another thing we established. Then we went along to establish the different causes of depression. Anybody can be depressed, but usually it's caused by different things for different people. Caused by some people is a health challenge that can lead to their depression. Some other people, it can be a relationship challenge. Women know this one very well. Relationship challenge. Somebody jilts you or breaks your heart. And women, let me just tell you, I have a program for you in January that we're going to talk about men so that you know, you understand the creatures you want to marry or you're already married to. I'm saying this because a lot of your heartbreak will be caused by a woman. A lot of your problem in this life will be caused by men. I'm telling you, a lot of it is going to be caused by men. If you don't know how to relate to them when you're single, a lot of them will break your heart. Even when you are married now to one, most women that break down physically and all that in their marriage, if you still trace it, it's still because they are unhappy in their marriage. Somebody gets what I'm saying? So, it can be emotional. It can be financial. This one affects men more. You know, financial disappointments. Some people are disappointed in God. You hear that a lot. I prayed, well, God, where were you? When my cousin died, when this one died, when that happened, when there was earthquake, when there was tsunami, when the plane crashed. A lot of people were disappointed in God. So their own depression comes from that disappointment. Praise God. Just like somebody said today, and it was a very profound statement. He said, life can be unfair, but God is always good. Are you here, somebody? And that is very true. Life can be unfair, but God is always good. So you can either choose to focus on how unfair life seems or how good God is. Hallelujah. And I think we all know the one we should focus on, Abby. Because the Lord is good all the time. Hallelujah. So you should focus on that. All right? So disappointments in people sometimes even disappointment in self, when you find yourself, you know, not meeting up to your expectations, not doing as well as you think you should be doing, that disappointment in self can come on you. Trust me, there are a lot of people that is what they are facing. I hope it's the note you're writing. What are you typing? It looks like you're chatting with somebody. It's note. Amen. Or else I'll be disappointed in you. And that can cause depression. When you are disappointed, hallelujah. Disappointment in self. You just find yourself doing something you feel you should, at your level, you should not be doing, or you fail an exam, you fail a test, your marriage fails. Again, women have this challenge. Once something goes wrong relationally, women first blame themselves. If a woman is married and her husband cheats, she will first blame herself, not her husband. She will say, I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not fine. Maybe she will first blame herself. That's her first reaction. Yeah, and if a man cheats, he will first blame on that person. He's the one that he will first blame on that person. That the economy was just bad. That's why. It's the economy that just made me do it. Praise God. All right. Where men face challenges, that men are not as verbal, so men don't talk a lot, so men internalize things. So when a man is going through disappointment or a phase of depression, he has challenge because he doesn't talk so much. So he internalizes it, and he has the capacity to implode and cause problems for him health-wise and otherwise. So, so basically, there are many causes. I don't want to waste time with that. Let's move on a bit today. So we said even the anointed people can be depressed. If I have enough time, I'll share some of my own stories of my own battle with depression. I have dealt with depression before. It was very, very horrible. And the thing about depression is that sometimes some people that are depressed, you will not even know. They don't look it. Because we are always imagining that when we're talking about depressed people, we're talking about a person that is downcast and feeling sorrowful. No, some people laughing and jumping and shouting are actually depressed. So that is why whenever you ask people how they are doing, please take time to actually listen and show, you know, concern. We always say, how are you? We just say it without thinking. Is somebody getting this, guys? So there are people that can be around you that are depressed and it will not show until they kill themselves. People still told me yesterday of their friends or colleagues that still committed suicide some days ago that nothing was wrong with the guy. Nothing, we just drank Sniper and died. You know, sometimes until they act, you won't know that they've always been depressed because they look normal. Sometimes they put on a shield. They act strong, but they're actually dealing with depression. Hallelujah. We also said that suicide is not natural. There's nothing natural about suicide because a natural man cannot even harm himself. A natural man cannot even slap himself. All the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that nobody loves himself and beats himself. So it's not normal for you to slap yourself. How much more kill yourself? So it's usually an oppressive spirit that takes over that person's mind and causes those suicidal thoughts and suicidal behavior. All right. So let's look at Elijah a bit. Let's start from there, then we'll start to build. 1 Kings chapter 19. I gave you some of the story on Sunday. Elijah was a very anointed man of God. After a great ministry exploit, where he fired from heaven, killed close to about 900 prophets of Baal. After he did that, he was stressed out. Kings 19 from verse 1. DJ. I've given you the gist, but we'll just read through it again and move from there. So, DJ, are you guys going to help me today? Or should I just read in my Bible? Where is this? Eh? Please, oh. So that I won't waste time. So, you know the story. So, after Elijah did that great exploit, called down fire from heaven, prayed for rain to fall. That had not fallen for 3.5 years, and rain began to fall. After rain was falling, the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the king. Elijah overtook horses. Imagine somebody today using leg and overtaking a car. You picture it. A Ferrari, because Ferrari is horse. I mean, that's the logo of horse. Imagine somebody, power of God come out with them, and they outrun with leg, overtake Ferrari. That's what this guy did. So he had just done ministry exploits, and he was burnt out. He was fagged out. For some of you, walk, your natural, your circular walk can give you the same effect. Maybe you guys have done an appraisal or done something or end of year or whatever it is you do that can be stressful and you've done it for 3 days straight, you didn't sleep, or for 3 weeks straight, you didn't sleep, you can get the same effect. So you don't wait, always equate it to pastor. This was a pastor's own stress. That might not be your own stress. Are you getting what I'm saying, guys? All right, it might be you're a mother, you just had a child, or your child was sick, you were in the hospital with a child and you could not sleep for 3 days. That could be your own high activity, you know, issue. So you might not always, when I'm reading about Elijah, don't think you must be a pastor for this to happen. Let's go back. All right. Hi, now checking your this. Nobody has tagged you. Don't worry. When you finish, they'll tag you. He says, and the hand of Lord, go to chapter 19, verse 1. So after I did this exploit, Ahab now told Jezebel. Jezebel now sent word to Elijah and said, I will do the same thing to you that I did to the prophets of Baal. And the Bible said Elijah was so depressed that he said he wanted to die. We read this on Sunday, so I'm just trying to summarize it. Elijah said he wanted to die. He said he wanted to die so much. I want you to go to where they said the angels appeared to him. DJ, can you go there? After he said he wanted to die. After he said he wanted to die, God told him he went to sleep, and God said, an angel woke him up and said, eat and drink. Let me just, verse 5, let me just, this part. I asked them, they said they would do it. Let me open my Bible and read my thing myself. Verse 5. Then as he lay down and slept under a broom tree, I don't tell you what somebody said about this broom, in line with election. So I said, then as he, somebody saw it and made a comment. I'll not say it. I'm facing my front. So then as he lay down and slept under the umbrella, under a broom tree, he said, suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise, eat. Can you give me, is there a verse before this where he said he wanted to die? So before we read this. But he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. He prayed that he might what? Die. And also, if you notice, I think it's also the verse before this. They say he left his servant a way off and went like a day's journey. So he basically had nobody to communicate with. Praise God. He said when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So he basically had nobody to talk to. We said on Sunday that the beginning of the healing process. Now, that is not the healing process, but that's the beginning of it, is when you have somebody you can share with. Very important. And I also established that the person you're going to share with, please, is not just, you know, a friend of yours. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody that has the spiritual capacity to minister to you and that can also be discreet. Very important. Because that's how people spread gossip in the name of, I'm going through something. And they will not share that person's story. So when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Next verse. It says, and he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. So he went a day's journey. He had nobody to talk to. And he prayed that he might what? Die. And said, it is enough now, Lord. Take what? My life. This is suicide right here. For I am no better than my fathers. He was going through a feeling of despondency and rejection. So I was no better than my father. Let me die. So see what happened next verse. Next verse. Then as he lay down and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, what? Arise and what? Eat. Please take note of this. Take note of this, that an angel appeared to him. Take note of it. Take note of it. An angel appeared to him. Take note of this, guys. It's going to be important to what we're saying later on. Go on. Go on, next verse. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake and baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. This was not really physical food, okay? Do you understand, guys? It wasn't physical food. He said, and the angel of the Lord came back, what? The second time, and did what? Touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is what? Too great for you. Next verse. He said, and he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Next verse. He said, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here? Why are you still here? Next verse. And so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. And DJ, let me finish it now. Wow. Okay. Sorry, guys. Let me just... I suspected these guys since morning. I just wanted to... Let me just... I can't trust them. Right now. Okay, so verse, what were you in, guys? Verse 10. Okay. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I alone, am left. I told you that when you're depressed, you exaggerate problems. He said, I'm the only one left in the whole world, and they seek my life, so take it away. And he said unto, and God said unto him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind, and all that. I'm trying to summarize. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after that, a still small voice. And verse 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave and all that. Then God told him, and behold, there came a voice unto him saying, what doest thou here, Elijah? That means, what are you still doing here? Verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because children of Israel have forsaken. He said the same thing again. They have thrown out the altars and the prophets and all those things, and I am the only one left, and they seek to take my life. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and who? Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of that place, Abelomah, I don't know, shall thou do what? anoint to be what? Prophet in your place. If you notice, he was consistent with saying he's not doing again. Not once, not twice, not thrice, not four times. He was consistent with it. And God had to honor his resignation. Elijah never died physically. He was just burnt out, stressed, and depressed. Hallelujah. He was just burnt out, stressed, and depressed. And God had to let him go and anointed Elisha. Okay. So if somebody as anointed as Elijah that can call down fire from heaven can be depressed to the point that he commits suicide, that means that practically any believer can be attacked by this. Any believer can be attacked by this. And the principle is simple. If you are going to overcome depression or any negative circle around your life, one of the things you have to do is not to dwell on the negative atmosphere or negative happenings. You must not dwell on it. Listen, you are not a robot. As powerful as God is, most times God cannot impose his will upon your will. God needs some cooperation from you at all times. Are you here, somebody? Because there are many people that just assume that, oh, God is the Almighty God. You know, he's going to do everything. Listen, God will supply you energy. Sometimes God will supply you a nudging. You will need to take that strength that he gives you. You will need to take that energy. Those angels came and said they woke him up, eat and drink. He had to do the eating and the drinking. But even though he ate and drank, you notice that he was still insistent on saying, I'm not doing again. And they encouraged him and encouraged him and encouraged him. He didn't take the encouragement. What I'm saying is this. When things happen to you, it will be painful. You will have a choice to either hold on to that hurt or allow the Holy Spirit help you come out of that hurt. Somebody got what I'm saying? He will be supplying you strength and be saying, hey, this thing is bad, but I don't want you to dwell on it. You need to cooperate with that strength and not dwell on it. If you insist on dwelling on it, the damage of dwelling on negative things will happen. It has nothing to do with God at that point. Somebody gets what I'm saying? This is crucial to dealing with depression, because whatever triggers your depression is real, but however, the strength of God is also real, but God will need you to take his strength and do your best not to dwell on whatever was depressing you or causing your anxiety. He said he will give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So you have to stay your mind or put your mind on God. No matter how bad this economy is, don't dwell on it. Don't dwell. If you dwell on it, anxiety will come. If anxiety comes, depression is the next thing that will come. There's nothing that can happen about that. God can't do anything about that part. Is somebody here? So you can be born again, a serious Christian, tongue-talking, love the Lord, and be depressed because you will not yield to the Holy Spirit helping you come out of it. If Elijah can fall into it, my brother, then you need to know you have a lot more up against you. This is Elijah that can call. Elijah used to disappear. Elijah used to disappear. As if they come to arrest him here, he will disappear from here and land in Ondo. That's who we are talking to. So this guy is powerful. He's an anointed guy. But he chose to dwell. And if you saw the story, he was exaggerating. There was only one left. And they told us in scripture that there were other prophets that were left, that they were hidden, that had not served the Baal. But he thought he was the only one. He was exaggerating the issue. That I'm the only one left in this whole world serving God. Nobody in this church is a Christian again. I'm the only Christian. They are using me. I'm the only one serving with a good heart. Those are signs of depression. You just think you're the only one. Somebody get what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that strength will come to you. Angels can come and minister to you. You will need to let go of the negative, don't dwell on it, and open yourself and receive strength from the positive. Hallelujah. Because what you choose to dwell on will choose the outcome. You don't choose your outcome, you just choose what you dwell on. You don't choose the outcome, you choose what you dwell on. Whatever you dwell on will now choose the outcome. Are you here, somebody? So two people can face the same thing. One will come out better, the other one can come out worse because of what they chose to dwell on. Are you here, somebody? And as a believer, it's very important for you to understand the mechanics of the things of the Spirit. You can't dwell on negatives. That's why I said on Sunday, gossips, either those that receive gossip or share gossip, cannot make it in the kingdom. Very simple, because the words they are peddling are not healthy words. The words they are peddling can't build, they destroy. See, the person sharing gossip with you is your enemy, not your friend. He's attacking your destiny. Are you here, somebody? He's attacking your destiny. Both the sharer and the hearer never amount to much because they are peddling the wrong words. As powerful as the word of God is, it needs some environment to work. Are you here, somebody? Most of you don't know how powerful God's word is. It's actually an abnormality for a Christian to struggle perpetually. It's abnormal because the weapons or the things in your arsenal are so powerful, but a negative atmosphere can choke it. See what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2. I hope you know the Bible was not written in chapter and verses. Okay? Hope we know that. It's a continuous story. They just put chapter and verse so that we can find what we are looking for. Okay? Hope we know that, Abby. If you're irregular in this church, I've said that over and over again. All right? It's people that put chapter and verses to help us find what we're looking for. So if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me look at the last three verses. Start from 1 Peter chapter 1, last three verses. So what are you dwelling on? What are you dwelling on? If you dwell on unemployment rate, you will not have faith to get a job. If you dwell on the economy, you will not have faith to get money, to get provision. Go to the next verse now, verse 22, verse 23. Good, look at this. It said, having been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible seed. The seed that you are thriving on, the seed there means the word of God, is incorruptible. That means nothing can affect it. The country you are planted in doesn't matter. Is somebody following what I'm saying? The president, whoever is in power, doesn't matter. They say the seed is incorruptible. However, see what can corrupt it. We're going to continue reading. Next verse. Okay, sorry, go back to verse 23 again. It says, 23 again. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is through the word of God, which lives and what? Abides forever. Now, next verse. It said, because all flesh is as grass, and as the glory of man, the flower of others. Next verse. Next verse. It says, but the word of the Lord does what? So, we've been talking about the word, Abby. The word of God endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was what? Preached to you. Next verse. That's the next chapter, right? Go on. That's why I explained that the Bible is not in chapter and verse. It's a continuous thing, okay? It says, therefore even shows that it's continuous. It's coming from whatever I said last, okay? It said, therefore, doing what? They said the word of God is so powerful, but you, knowing this, you need to lay aside what? All malice. All what? Deceit. All what? Hypocrisy. If you are smiling with someone and you're saying something negative behind their back, the word can't work for you. That I'm telling you. I've been a pastor for about 25 years. I'm yet to see gossip receiver or gossip speaker that have built something in their life. Yet to see it. Yet to see it. I'll be glad to see it, but I've not seen it. I'll be glad to see it, but I've not seen it. See, you will lay aside malice. You will lay aside deceit. See, you can't be trying to conceive and you're quarreling with your husband. If he annoys you, forgive him till you conceive. Then you can draw the matter back and say in 1982. But you can't be keeping malice and doing stuff like that. And husband, you're trying to launch a major business project and you're treating your wife badly at home. It's not going to produce. So you put aside malice. You see, if you're going for an interview, your husband or wife annoy you, settle before you go. You can't carry malice and go. The favor and the grace will not work as it should work. He said, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy. And what was the last one? Evil speaking. One version says slander. Gossip. Gossip. It can't work. The word won't work for you. So you can be in a great church, have a great pastor, great worship team, ministry, and music team, great anointing, and you will not produce because the atmosphere, the word, those words is landing, is not type that will produce. See the story of your life right there. Right there. So you can pray for something next year. You're wondering why God is not answering. He can't answer. The atmosphere of the word is not good. So you can't dwell. Next verse. Let me see next verse. It says, newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Next verse. It said, if indeed you have tasted the Lord's grace. Next verse. I'm looking for something. Don't worry. Let's just not worry. I'm looking for something. So, but basically, don't dwell. In Philippians chapter, let's go to Philippians chapter 6, 4 verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. Because sometimes the thing causing you anxiety, you should have dealt with it by now. Maybe it's financial, relational, whatever, but your atmosphere is not helping.
He says, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, by what? Prayer, supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be what? Made known to God. Next verse. He said, and the peace of God, which what? Surpasses all understanding. We help you guard your mind. We explained this on Sunday, that it's impossible for a Christian to make real contact in prayer and things not be changed. Even if you don't get the testimony, God makes a deposit of peace in your heart that sustains you while the thing manifests. Somebody get what I'm saying? Because some things you are praying for cannot manifest the minute you pray for it. If you are praying for a husband, there's no way that man can, as you are praying, in the middle of the prayer, a stranger will just come and knock at your door. You didn't even give him your address. He just passing by, the Holy Ghost directs him. He just come and knock at your door, say, hey, the Holy Ghost just told me now that there's a woman praying here for me. You are my wife. That would be very weird. Am I correct? So some things you are praying for now, God will go and orchestrate it. But he won't leave you confused and lost while he's going to orchestrate it. He will leave you with a deposit of peace that will sustain you. You will not be in anxiety, even though the thing has not manifested. That's why they say it doesn't make sense. A peace that doesn't make sense. Because people be like, why are you relaxed? You don't have your baby yet. Why are you relaxed? The business is not working yet. Why are you relaxed? You're not married yet. But there's a deposit of peace that doesn't make sense to men that God deposited in you. Are you here, somebody? That's why sometimes I know a Christian is not praying. If you are full of worry, you're not praying. You've not made contact. You are complaining in the place of prayer. I've not prayed. When you pray, God leaves you the deposit of peace. You might not have the miracle yet in your hand, but you have that deposit of peace. Those of you that are in business, when people want to buy something, they can't pay. They do what? They deposit. You have not sold the good, but you have their deposit. It gives you some comfort. He said, whenever you're not anxious and you pray, he said, the peace of God will come for you, which doesn't make sense. So, pastor, understanding. He said, that peace, one of the assignments of that peace is to help you do what? Guard your heart and mind. So, for believers, the guy that has received his own and the guy waiting for his own, they both should have the same countenance. Because for you that you have not received yet, he has deposited peace in you that makes you look like you have received. Are you here, somebody? Single ladies, you need to learn that. If you look too worried that you're not married, even your face will now scare the guy when he's coming. Because you just look worried. So you need that peace. Are you here, somebody? See the next verse of this, guys. See the next verse. See the next verse. It says, finally, brethren, what things soever are what? True. What things soever are what? Noble. What things soever are what? Just. What things soever are what? Pure. See, gossip can't survive this place. Rubbish talk of another person. Say, one sister got pregnant. How is that? You are not, it's not your pregnancy. You're not the one that impregnated her. You're not the one that received the pregnancy. How on earth is it your business is what I want to know. How on earth does this thing concern me and you now? And this is what some people do in church. This is what they're talking about. Your mates are talking about how to build great businesses, great ideas. You are discussing another person, another Christian that got pregnant. Are you the impregnator, the impregnatee, the impregnatum? Which one are you? How does it concern you? That's why you can't produce, guys. This is the reason right here. The only reason why I'm interested in such a story is because I'm the pastor and I have a judicial revival. Even at that, there are some people they've told me about, I will not ask them until they bring it up. If they don't bring it up, I will love you with the love of God. I will not touch you with my thought life. It's none of my business. I have too many things to worry about. Are you here, somebody? But you know what my body did? Hey, Sister Janet, it got impregnated by someone. Said, do you know the owner of the... See what I said. Do you know the owner of the pregnancy? He said, I don't know the owner of the pregnancy. I heard that he's based abroad. Do you know what country abroad? He says, in Europe. What area of you... See, look at clowns. Look at clowns. Their mates are building businesses. Look at clowns. Look at clowns. You want to be thinking and talking like that and produce a business? Because your mates are out there doing something. Yes, because somebody that the woman has not consulted you. The medical, are you the people that do tests? What they call them? People that do pregnancy tests. What, do they have a name? Lab, are you the, what, I mean, I don't even know your place in this business. I don't know your place. Except that you're jobless and the government is not producing jobs. I don't know your place. He said, see the things that you think about. See what you should use your mind to be doing. He said, what things ever are true? Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Do you see that God wants your mind to be so full of such a good atmosphere? See what he's saying? Lovely, good, pure. Do you see that? See how God wants you to think? Because if you don't think like this, that piece of God he gave you, you're going to lose the deposit. You're going to lose the deposit. He said, whatever things are true, whatever are lovely, whatever things of a good report. The junk of what people listen to has no good report. It's a bad report. That's why everywhere in the world, gossip sells better than good news. So how can the world be positive when they're all chasing gossip? Gossip blogs have more traction than people sharing development things. Instagram is a check. People that have millions of followers, check the content they're giving. Check people that are giving positive content, check the followers they have. Two. Somebody sharing ideas and business concept, two followers. Somebody sharing junk. 5 million followers. Following to hear junk, to receive more junk. The junk that only your own mind produces alone is enough to kill you. You're not be taking another person's own to join your own. Junk. Stories that have no meaning. Of people you don't even know. The people they are writing about, you don't even know. You will never meet them. But your ear is scratching you to hear how the matter settles. Then you know, so when they see one person write something, they'll go and check the other person's reply. You see why you can't make it in the kingdom? In the kingdom, you can't walk because you're full of junk. You see, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, say, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Think on this. See the next verse. I don't know if you think of, is there any next verse? Okay, no. No. But basically, what you dwell on matters. You can choose to dwell on the positive or on the negative, and that affects your outcome. It affects your outcome. So try and dwell only on the positive things. Dwell on testimonies of people that have gotten jobs, even in this economy. That's what it's all about. They might be rare, but that's what you dwell on. Dwell on people that have gotten breakthroughs. Dwell on that. Dwell on people that have gotten their healing. Dwell on that. Dwell on people that have gotten cancer and gotten healed. Dwell on people that have gotten married. Dwell on people that things good. You know, that's what you dwell on. If you dwell on that, your life will produce that. It doesn't mean the bad things will not be happening. They'll be happening, but they won't happen to you. Because you're not generating that. You're not generating that. Hallelujah. The principal way you're going to deal with depression is by that communion with God. At the end of the day, that's where the matter lies. We shared a lot of other things on Sunday. All those things will all cooperate to amount to one major thing, which is that your prayer life and communion with God. Nothing else will really give you long-lasting solution. Because there's something about being in interaction with God that actually strengthens you. It strengthens you, guys. You need to understand. It strengthens you. We shared how Moses too got depressed. Moses was a depressed guy. Moses literally committed suicide. Literally got kicked out of ministry. Moses was a powerful guy. Moses used to talk to God face to face. Moses used to have great encounters with God. The people he was leading frustrated him. These guys were frustrating. They complained and complained from day one to the last. Say, we want one manna. You can't take us here and not begin our food. Moses prayed. Manna came down. You know, some of you think that if you impress the person arguing with you, he'll be impressed. They will still not be impressed. You want to do a big wedding so that your enemies can see. They will still find something negative to say. They will say, one person say, you know, see more to drink. They will, among all the things that happen in the wedding, they will only find the one person that complained about something. There's no parking for the wedding now, nowhere to park. They will find one, have you met people like that? They will find one negative thing. No matter how great you are. They will find one negative thing to say. Are you here, somebody? So Moses was wasting his time for those people. They said, he called that manna for them. After that, they complained again. We want to eat meat, it's the only manna we'll be eating. These are people that, when they didn't see manna, manna was the only thing they wanted. Now, manna has come. They say, we want meat, we want protein. Balanced diet is what is good.
He prayed and chicken came, birds, quails came. After that, he said, "Want water? You want to kill us of thirst here?" They kept complaining. And that Moses was fumed. Remember, he had already broken the tablets that God wrote with his own hands. He broke it. Because he went 40 days and 40 nights to fast. When he came down, they had changed the name of the church. Aaron had changed the vision and the name of the church. Everybody was naked, dancing, built altar. By the time he came down 40 days fast, he didn't even reach down. He broke the tablets that God wrote in his handwriting. He was frustrated. So he had to go back and collect on that one. So God was already warning him, said, "This guy, you know, go make him. You know, if you let this will provoke you." And you see the thing about God is that even though God knows the challenge you're facing is real, he expects you to hook up to him and get strength. He can't be responsible for your reaction because he will still tell you what to do and expect you to do it. So just because somebody annoyed you and you allow that trigger you off into bitterness, you will get the consequence of bitterness. Even though God knows that you were legitimately annoyed or upset or somebody hurt you, if you continue dwelling on the hurt, you will get the consequence of hurt. So when Moses broke that record, said, "Take it easy. You won't last though. If this is your nana, you don't need a break tablet." They kept provoking him. He kept responding to the provocation. The last one, they wanted water. And God said, "Go there and speak to the rock. Let the rock bring out water." Moses got there, used his stick, and struck the rock and spoke to the people. God didn't say speak to people. He said speak to rock. But Moses went there, struck the rock, and abused the people. Say, "You're not under here. We're no stiff-necked people. You are too stubborn. We're going to prove to you." See, you can't prove anything to these people. Leave them. They will still be upset. They won't be satisfied. At the end of the day, Moses didn't enter the promised land because of them. Are you here, somebody? Moses was so frustrated. He was doing counseling from morning to night. Moses was doing counseling. I wish I had those scriptures written out. He was doing counseling from morning to night in Exodus somewhere. Morning to night. And his in-law came and said, "This thing you are doing is not good. You will wear yourself out and even wear the people out." Moses will do counseling from morning till night. People were waiting. He'll be judging their matter, counseling their matter. His father-in-law told him, "Look, train 70 elders. Let them be doing this counseling. And you supervise them. That this thing you are doing will kill you." Hallelujah. In my own situation, what led to mine was a combination of different things. you see, when women, when you are being jilted, as a pastor, I'm jilted regularly, maybe once a month. I get jilted once a month. Now I'm getting used to it. Now I even jilt myself before you jilt me. What do I mean by getting jilted? Because men might not understand this so much, but women appreciate what it means to be jilted. When you invest your whole life on somebody from nothing, he's in nothing. Women do this a lot. You invest your whole life, help his vision, help his life, pray for him, help him. And he can't blow. Or he becomes big. And he walks away. Women go through that every day. As a pastor, I go through that regularly. Regularly. And it's painful that people are generally weak with remembering. It's a human being problem. I'm not even exempt. Human beings, we're not good with remembrance. And even when we want to remember, we remember only the bad things that people did to us. You never remember all the good things this same person have done for you. Never remember. As a pastor, we literally pour our lives out for people. One of the couples that hurt us the most, all those periods, that's one of the things that triggered the thing then. These are people that we met from nothing. And this is a regular story in church. It's a regular story for pastors, all pastors, not even just me. You meet this guy, he's nothing, has no job, has no hope, and you start pumping God's word into him. Start spending time praying with him. Start building up his confidence, building up his strength, praying for him. He begins to get his acts together. He begins to prosper. There are couples like that. This particular couple in question, I mean, they were nothing. The guy, in his own words, said they have been struggling to get married for years. Couldn't get anything going until they came to meet us. We started building them up in the word, building their faith, building things up. They began to, confidence came, faith came, prosperity came. They got married. Their first child, when they delivered their first child, you see, some people think my job as a pastor is the preaching. The preaching is the easiest part. If preaching was all my job, I'll be happy. The difficult part of my job is what I do when I'm not preaching. That's the toughest part. Preaching is anybody, don't keep preaching the Bible now.
Donkey preacher, a prophet. Anybody can do that. In fact, if you listen to a good message and come and repeat it, you have preached. If you read a good book and come and tell us that you have preached, anybody can do that. The difficult part of my job is the ministering to people in the real sense of it. This couple, their first child, my wife was in the labor room. Their first child. Remember, we built them from when before they got married. Their first child, my wife's labor room. After she put to bed, she just delivered, just carried the baby away. Everybody abandoned her. The nurses, everybody left. She was still bleeding on the bed that she delivered the baby. As in, blood was dropping from the, a flow of blood. And she was, her eyes were going. Everybody left her, all the nurses, everybody has gone. They abandoned her on that table, carried the baby. Blood was flowing. It was my wife was the only one there. I had to go and call them and say, you guys can't leave this woman like this. Stop the bleeding. So, you understand? In other words, you could have said my wife literally saved. So this, I'm not sure these particular people. I'm just seeing one couple. There are many of this happens almost regularly. Happens regularly, but we invested our life for these people when they were going to start trouble. They fought us in church and eventually left. You see, people that even leave church and just leave, sneak out and leave, is fine. We both just pretend we don't remember ourselves. There are some people that they won't leave, that they will cause trouble first before they leave. We go through this on a monthly basis. Regular. For any pastor, not just me, this is not peculiar to me. It's the same thing that happened to Elijah. Same thing that happened to Moses. People can frustrate a pastor to even lose his own salvation. Elijah didn't finish. Moses didn't finish. And trust me, I'm not even anywhere near them in rank. Or in anointing. Somebody get what I'm saying? Some of the pastors you are seeing that have become 419 pastors, I'm the first to admit that they are bad pastors. They are 419 pastors. Some of them, it's frustration. Most of them started with a good heart. Members frustrated them. I'm telling you, I'm old on this job. I'm telling you. There are 419 pastors. I'm the first to admit that. Oh, don't let anybody deceive you. They are crook. Real crooks. I even know some of them. They are pure crooks. They are not servants of God. But most of them did not start out as crooks. They started out as genuine men of God. People frustrated them. So, you're a pastor. There's no microphone in church, for instance. No money to buy this microphone. There's a member of your church. He doesn't pay tithe, he doesn't give, but you are the one, he calls to come and dedicate his car. It's a brand new car. They just brought it from abroad, TL Island. And dedicate his house. And you can't even pay school fees for your children. And he will not give one naira. But he's one that disturbs you the most. Every 2 minutes, say, come on, my wife is disturbing me. Talk to her. He disturbs you the most. So after a while, you will get so upset, you will prophesy to him. Even though the Lord did not say it. Because you know he has money. You say, the Lord said, you must kill your Isaac. Sacrifice your Isaac. Go and empty your bank account. Thus said the Lord. Don't argue. Or else the man of God will die. You better do it. Most of them started well. It's frustration. Frustration. Human beings can frustrate you. Praise God. So we got a lot of those things in that period. You know. Coupled with the stress of work. It was so bad that, you know, and like I said, I still face some things like that now. There's nothing, see, as a pastor, many people admire us, not many people love us. My wife shared that revelation with me some days ago. It's powerful, trust me. Many people admire us, not many people love us. What that means is that people that admire you, they are fans. Fans have no long-term commitment to you. They only love you as long as you are performing. You are the number one, number nine striker. You score today, we win World Cup. Hey, we're your fans. Don't score next match. After first match, you don't score. They say, we are watching you. We're your partial fans. Second match, you don't score. Third match, they go say, remove him. Remove that idiot. Remove him. Coach, why you lose? Arsene Wenger changed Arsenal. His last days, everybody was saying they should drive him. The management couldn't drive him because they know what he has done and what he's earning the club. But the fans. Fans admired him. They don't love you. No long-term commitment. They only love you based on your performance. The day you're not performing again, those of you in the entertainment industry, do like this spiritually now. Hold your ear. If you are raining, be saving your money. The day you stop raining, they'll forget you like anything. You won't believe it. Now, you are the one people are taking selfie with. If then, when you are no more popular, you are the one that be, you will give you phone and say, but snap, snap me with this guy. Now you go to snap people. So these people admire you. They don't love you. There's a difference. Somebody get in there. So a pastor can be surrounded with thousands of people, yet the people that love him in that crowd, very few. Many admire him as long as it's raining. Many people in the church have no stake in the church. They can walk out in 1 minute. One room or one Jesus, enough for them to carry their bag and go to the next reigning pastor. The next reigning church. Are you here, somebody? Meanwhile, that's not the love. The pastor loves you. Even when you mess up and mess up and mess up, he's one of the people on the earth that will still be keep reaching out to you. Keep being there for you. Keep praying for you. But the time he will need you to also stand for him, psh, it happened to Jesus. When he was multiplying bread, say he's our king. The second service after that, they've all got to bring their relatives that in our church. And they share bread and fish. You never see anything. Now church, you they go. Come our church. Our pastor, they give bread and fish. Just bring your juice as they come. And your butter. People, they were ready. They were to bring butter, juice. Everybody ready to say today, today. Praise and worship start. PC, leading praise and worship. They say, when they go share bread? They say, no worry, after worship. They finish worship. Pastor begin preaching. When they go share food? It's after word. They're preaching. They begin. When they, after prayer. After prayer. They say, let's share the grace. Ah. Shall be said that they chop bread and fish. To capital. Jesus now said, you will eat my flesh and drink my blood. They say, ah. Now this kind of church, you invite me, come. The Bible said, all of them. Plus the new members, oh, and the members that invited them. This is in the Bible. All of them left. Every single one. Every single one. They left. That was the beginning of Jesus' problem. Because the moment they left, and some days later, they brought Jesus and Barabbas and said, choose who we save. They say, crucify him. That guy disappoint us. He promised bread. Huh? Kill him. Kill him. Leave Barabbas for us. Leave Barabbas. Kill Jesus Christ. Promise and fail. Kill him. They all left. They all left. Every member left. Sometimes that people leave a church doesn't mean the church is bad. Sometimes the people that are bad. All the members left. Hallelujah. So, It was a tough period in my own life. And you see, at that time, nobody can comfort you. You see, when you're facing real depression, even though, like I said on Sunday, talking about it is one of the steps, but I'm not talking about, it's not as if the talking is in itself will heal you. It's just the beginning of the process so that you will not bottle it up. And I like I've said on Sunday, please, when I mean talk about it, according to James 5, 16, confess your faults, when I say talk about it, I'm not talking about telling your friend that is weaker than you, or that will just, you know, there's some people you tell your problem and say, oh boy, my rent don't is go due next month. I don't get money to pay. You go say, Mom, I owe 2 years' rent. That's not who I'm saying you should talk to. It's not somebody that will make his problem bigger than your. How many of you have friends like that? No matter your own problem, tell me, his own is more worse than your own. Say, my back, they pay me. Say, me, my both back and my two knee. Their problem is always more than your own. That's not who I'm talking about. Because that's what some Christians do. You're battling with smoking, they attend the person that is battling with India hemp. That's not what I'm talking about. That's what you're keeping a circle of failure around you. Two of you will not get it. You're in the wrong company. What I'm talking about, you're talking to somebody that is in a spiritual capacity to jack you up from where you are, not console you. It's not sympathy. You're not talking to somebody to get sympathy from them. You're talking to somebody that will give you positive energy, that will tell you as well. Don't let those people get at you. That the Lord is your strength. Let's pray together. That will give you positive vibes. Not help you accommodate your problem. Somebody get what I'm saying? And be careful. A bulk of church people are not spiritually developed yet, so they are champion gossip people. So you do not tell them such things. You don't share such things with them. They are still gossip peddlers. They've not understood that you cannot keep spreading those kind of things. They've not understood the impact of both the sharer and the receiver. Both get damaged. They don't learn that. They don't know you yet. So then I will even share with my wife, and no matter what she did to try and comfort me, I couldn't be comforted. The reason is because real issues of depression is principally spiritual. It's your spirit that has a problem. It's your spirit that is broken down. So watching a movie can't relieve you. It can relieve you on the short term. It can't really get you healed. Going for a comedy show can't get you healed. Sleeping is fine, but you wake up even more worried. The stress will just continue from where it stopped. Are you here, somebody? I'll round up with this. Rehealing will come spiritually. And listen, guys, when you really spend time in prayer, and this is why a believer cannot play with his prayer life. Prayer is not telling God your problems. When you are spending time in prayer, you are communing with God, you are exchanging things with God. So God is taking your burdens, you are taking his peace. Are you here, somebody? Real communion is an exchange. You are unloading your burden. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. I'll read three scriptures, then we'll close. So prayer is the real thing that will heal you. Real communion. Prayer is not a sign of the cross. Prayer is not our Father which art in heaven. I don't mean religious kind of praying. And by the way, sign of the cross is not in the Bible. I hope you do know that. I'm not saying you should not do it. If you like to do it, it's fine. But I'm just telling you, it's not in the Bible, okay? So real praying is communing with God. You are actually in fellowship with the Lord. This is not rush. I'm rushing to work. I just repeat three, the grace of our God, and three this thing, three hallelujah and something. That's not what I'm talking about. You are in communion. You are in fellowship. You are actually in worship and relationship and in fellowship with the Lord. At the time you stay in the place of prayer, because that's where your real healing is. No human being can comfort you when you're really, if you have ever been really heartbroken, no matter how many sorry they tell you, it doesn't reach there. Because where the thing is paining you? Has it happened to somebody here before? Am I just talking on my own? Where is paining you? The human being's words can't reach it. Their sorry can't enter. If you have ever been really betrayed, some people cover it up with laughing, you know? Some people cover it with smiling, but it's still paining them. I'm talking about rehealing. It's communion with God. I could not get over it until I began to spend time with God in prayer. I'll show you two scriptures and I'll just close. The first one was the one we read in 1 Kings. When Elijah was really discouraged, what did God send to him? Sent angels to him. Some people don't know this. Listen, if you're born again Christian, when you have communion with God, God sends you angels. They must not appear the way home video people portray it. So don't be scared. Say, hey, angels, my curtain will be shaking. My light will be blinking. It's half current. That's not the Holy Ghost. It's the half current in your area. That's not Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost has come. No, it's half current. The angels will not necessarily be visible or physical. When Elijah was discouraged, angels were sent to him and they strengthened him. They gave him spiritual food. They strengthened him basically. See Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus went to fast and pray in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. I hope you know that when Jesus was here, he was here as a man. I hope you know that. He was not operating as a God, though. Even though he is God, but he didn't come here with... In fact, what the Bible says, that he left the fact that he could be equal with God. He left all that. You know, he didn't think it was robbery for him to come down here and be a man. Do you understand, guys? He was born as a man. He took breast milk. That's what it means. He was born as a man, took breast milk. He went to the toilet. He had a bath. He was taking transport and walking. It's only once in a while when he's busy and he's tired of being natural, he'll walk on water. But that was just once or twice. Most of the times, he did normal trekking like every other person. Do you understand, guys? Okay. So he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And they said he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So that 40 days and 40 nights was a period where Satan was tempting him. They only mentioned three temptations. I don't believe that's the whole conversation they had in 40 days. Is somebody get what I'm saying? All right? I don't believe that's all. I don't think that's all that happened. They say he was led into the wilderness to go and fast and pray and to be tempted of the. So throughout that 40 days, he was being tempted. They only listed three of the major temptations, probably. There were other things Satan was telling him. Give up. Are you sure you want to do this? Are these people worth it? Quit. For me, in the period where I was facing depression, those were the things I was battling. Am I sure I'm even doing the right job? Should I even be bothering myself? So these people, they don't even hear what. No matter what they're saying, they will not go and do something else in your life. One day, something happened in our church. My elder brother was a church member then. He cried. He said, why was he crying? He said, he feels his brother is wasting his life. But these people are not hearing what. These people can't hear what. Some of you don't know that by your stubbornness and disobedience, you are frustrating your pastor sometimes. Because he can't invest in all that into you, and you're not, you still come back pregnant outside marriage. With all these things we're shouting. You still want to marry an unbeliever that will beat you, then we will continue counseling. Because it's me you will stress. It's me you will see stress. When they kick you out of the house, it's me you will call. Somebody getting this? Because we're preaching love and marriage now. It's only on Friday. Love and marriage is on Friday. You will not come for that. You will not learn. You will not apply it. Then you marry an unbeliever. Then he start beating you. Then you call us to come and separate fight. So they tempted him 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, after the last temptation, DJ, can you bring that up? Look at what happened. After the third temptation they mentioned here, there were many, but after this last temptation, they said, then what happened? And what happened? An angel came and did what? Ministered to him. They came and strengthened him. See, if you're going through a really tough time, spend time in communion with God. God will send you strength. Angels will come and minister to you. We saw it in Elijah. You can say that's Old Testament. Jesus here was in the New Testament. It was a tough time of temptation, a tough time of trials. It was the wilderness means, wilderness usually connotes a rough place, a rough patch. A period where you're getting tired of being single, getting tired of not having children, getting tired of not having a job, getting tired of not breaking through your career and your business is a time of temptation. What God sent to Jesus, of course, apart from the word of God, was that he sent angels to minister to him so that he will not quit. Jesus was not praying fake prayer. He could have quit. In fact, the two times he could have quit was at the beginning and at the end. It wasn't if he wasn't going to quit, he wouldn't be praying it. Jesus was not a phony guy. He was not a fake guy. He needed the strength. Is somebody here? Okay, so this time they ministered to him. Look at towards the end in Luke, I think it's Luke 22 or something. Let me see. Luke 22, let's start from 41. Luke 22 was when he was now going to the cross, towards the end. 22 from 41. He said, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, next verse, saying, what do you think about Christ? Next verse. I'm looking for where they said the angels also came to minister. Okay, yes, he withdrew himself from them about the stone's throw, and he did what? So this was towards the end. He was going to go to the cross. So he separated himself, went to pray. See what happened. Next verse. Saying, Father, if you will, let this cup pass over me. Never in this. So he was really tired here. He was about to give up. Next verse. He said, then what happened? An angel appeared and did what? Strengthened him. Whenever you're tired and weary and weak, and you really make connection with God, God will send angels to stand by you. See, some of you this night, you will sense the presence of angels around you. See what happens. Hi, Nana, come. So, imagine he's going through a rough time, time of confusion, time of despondency. As he's really spending time in prayer, say, angels will come around him and strengthen him. You see, how many of you feel good sometimes when somebody strong, somebody loving hugs you or puts their arm around you? Now, that's the physical one, and it feels good. Trust me, the spiritual one doesn't just feel good. It strengthens you. It strengthens you not to give up, no matter what you're facing. No matter what you're facing. So the next time you're going through a tough time and you can find time to pray, God is sending you help. There will be angels all around you to strengthen you so that you not quit in the journey. Believers, don't lose because they can lose. They usually lose because they quit. That's why they lose. Because they quit. And the angels are there to strengthen you so that you will not quit. Because most times, most people that give up when they're very close to their miracle. If they sent angels to strengthen Jesus Christ, you need it more than even him. I hear somebody. And listen, when those angels strengthen you and you yield to receive that strength, supernaturally, that pain will go. The hurt will go. It might not make sense to your kidney, as the comedian has put it, this is. It might not make sense to you, but the strength will come. Hallelujah. And that was what helped me in my own time. I was strengthened by God. It was something that was resolved by prayer. No human being could help me. I got into real suicidal behavior at that time. I can't give you more gist than that, lest you be scared. But go to the place of prayer, receive strength. Don't dwell, you see, don't dwell on the negatives. Dwell on the fact that you are being strengthened and you will get the victory in the name of Jesus. Do you want to stand? Let's pray tonight. You can jam your hands together. Hallelujah. Can you take 1 minute and just talk to God? I want somebody to play on that keyboard. Take 1 minute and just talk to God. Some of you will get strengthened even right here in the service. You will get strengthened right here in the service. Some of you, when you get home tonight, before you sleep, just spend 30 minutes in the place of prayer. Just spend like 30 minutes in the place of prayer. Oh, man, brede, kozo, da, ba, brada, sata, bashta. Go ahead and just pray this evening. If there's any area you're facing stress, can you just talk to the Lord about it today? His angels will be right by your side, strengthening you. Right by your side, strengthening you. It was common in the days of Jesus. It was normal for him to receive strength. It was normal for him for angels to come and strengthen him. More than once, more than twice, more than thrice, they came around and gave him strength for the journey. They gave Elijah the same thing. They said, the journey is far. You can't be tired now. It's too early to be tired. Eat and drink. You will not quit. You will not quit. You will not go back into a life of sin. You will not go back into that life that does not please God. You will not quit. You will not dwell on the negatives. You will not dwell on the offense. You will not dwell on what they did to you. You will not dwell. You will not dwell on it. Receive strength right now by the Holy Ghost for your mind and your heart to be healed. For your mind and your heart to be restored. He said that peace of God will keep your heart and mind. Mandabo sakada ya da ba bo bra da ba sata. Jitala ba mo bra da sakada ra ba mo sakada ya da ba. Hey ra da ba ma ma mo bla de so ra ba ha de de ba ba ma so kada. Yes Lord, yes Lord. Mandorobo sakada ya da da ba ma mo da sakada ya da ba. Shaman de 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 ba ma ba bo bra da ba so da ba ba ba. Shila la ba ma bra da ba ba ba. Oh, Mahanda Yata La La Raba Mombradesa. Go ahead and pray. Oh, Mahanda Le Kalarabas. Oh, Mahanda Yata Raba. Isata Mahana. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today. For everyone going through a hard time or that we go through a hard time. Father, we know that your ministering spirits, which are called angels, are here to minister for us, to serve us, to strengthen us. Lord, I ask that they release strength around your sons and your daughters. None of them will quit in the name of Jesus. None of them will get weary in the name of Jesus. Whatever that pain or hurt is, I declare they are healed in the name of Jesus. Fresh strength, fresh power, we flow in them in the name of Jesus. Any negative atmosphere that they have found themselves in, I decree that it is broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That atmosphere is broken. That spirit of death is rebuked. Those thoughts of suicide is rebuked. That tiredness is replaced with strength. In the name of Jesus, your strength is refreshed. Your strength is renewed. The Bible said those that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. I decree that your strength is renewed in the name of Jesus. You will not quit. You will not be weary. You will not faint in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.